Debate on the articles of impeachment will be taken up by the House Judiciary Committee at 4 o'clock this afternoon. We'll have NPR's live coverage for you then. It'll continue throughout the evening, and it's going to follow 1 hour of All Things Considered, which begins an hour earlier today, 3 o'clock, special airing of All Things Considered for a full hour, 4 o'clock NPR's live coverage of the Senate Judiciary Committee's debate on the articles of impeachment. Now, that debate will continue tomorrow morning after they stop sometime in the evening. It could be late night on the East Coast. They'll resume at 6 o'clock our time tomorrow morning, and we'll have NPR's live coverage for you then as well, with tomorrow the vote expected by the committee, which would then send the articles of impeachment to the full House of Representatives for an expected extended debate next week. All your NPR coverage of the impeachment process live right here on KPCC. Well, the California economy, like much of the rest of the country, has been booming. The question is, what are the fundamentals underlying it, and how long might that boom continue? Beacon Economics, based in Southern California, has just put out its economic forecast, and we're very pleased to have founding partner Beacon Economics economist Chris Thornburg with us. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, great to be here, Larry. Happy holidays.
Yeah, thank you to you, too. So we're in a boom time, it seems like, in just about every area. What do you see on the horizon?
Same old, same old. You know, if you wanted to talk about 2019, I call it the year of the bear, right? Every headline you saw over the course of this 12 months had something negative to say about housing or the global economy or trade wars. Yet through all that negative rhetoric, the reality is the U.S. economy has continued to tick along. I wouldn't really call it a boom economy. I would call it a Goldilocks economy because it's not too cold, but guess what? It's also not too hot. You know, if things are too excessively hot, if you have too much growth in consumer spending, too much growth in residential real estate, those are potentially indicators of a growing bubble, and when bubbles pop, they create the kind of turmoil we like to refer to as a recession. This is an economy that is very well balanced, where we don't see kind of excessive growth in any part of things. And with that in mind, there's no reason at all to predict anything other than the ongoing expansion of this economy.
What's the percentage of growth we're experiencing right now?
Well, you know, a couple of years ago, it was 2.8%. Last year, it was about 2.5%. And this year, we're coming in at about 2.35% for the first three quarters. But I can tell you as a macroeconomist, that those are all the same numbers. These are always measured with a degree of error. And when you think about the distribution of significance, it's the same number.
Is there any previous era you could point to that we had this sort of economy we've got now?
Yeah, much of the 90s was like this, really up until the last couple of years when the tech bubble started kicking in a big way. And, of course, that was up till this expansion, the longest expansion on record. So it's a relative rarity to have an economy that has been this stable for this long. But I think we can all simply appreciate it. And like I said, we see nothing but ongoing growth for at least the next couple of years.
So we have a couple of big challenges in California. One of them is housing, and the other, which is, I assume, very much related to it, shortage of workers in particular classifications. So what's ahead in those areas?
Well, it's interesting, too, because unemployment, you know, we tend to have this very simplistic view of unemployment, which is high unemployment is bad, low unemployment is good. But actually, high unemployment is bad and low unemployment is also bad. High unemployment means workers can't find jobs. Very low unemployment means jobs can't find workers. And that's exactly where we are in the state of California right now. To your point, largely driven, of course, by a lack of available workers, which in turn is driven by a lack of housing supply. Now, what's interesting is really labor shortages are a problem across the United States right now. And with that in mind, where people are moving is where you see higher levels of growth. So places like Nevada, Arizona, Oregon, South Carolina, there's a lot of inflow of people. And as a result of that, these are the fastest growing economies around us. California stands out as the one place in the U.S. which is both rapidly growing with very little labor force growth. And of course, that is, again, driven by the very specific conditions in this state where we simply refuse to build a sufficient amount of residential structures. And as a result of that, what we have is an economy that does continue to grow, but not for everybody. Gentrification is very much part of the landscape here in California right now, which is a shame. But we still have a great economy. It's just not great for everybody.
And how has the percentage of what people in Southern California are paying for their housing, how does that compare to the historic percentage?
Believe it or not, if you look at median rent to incomes or median owner costs to incomes for people with mortgages, they have been falling consistently for the last decade. So people always talk about a lack of affordability in California, but that actually isn't borne out in the data. You do actually see housing costs as a percent of income falling in the state. But go back to what I just said about the churn. Think of all the people who are leaving California. They tend to be predominantly lower income. And who's coming into the state tend to be the most skilled, highest income folks who can afford this housing. So in a sense, I keep going back to the same concept. It's not an affordability crisis, although we're relative to other states, we're pretty unaffordable. It's a supply crisis that is causing housing to be unaffordable for certain segments of the population.
We're talking with economist Chris Thornburg, founding partner of Beacon Economics. Their latest economic forecast just came out about an hour and a half ago. Also with us is Stuart Gabriel, professor of finance and the Arden Realty Chair at the UCLA Anderson School of Management, directs UCLA's Simon Center for Real Estate. Professor Gabriel, always a pleasure to have you with us. Do you concur with the housing assessment that Chris Thornburg just provided?
Larry, good morning, and a pleasure to be with you, and good morning to everybody else on the show. I would roughly concur with Chris, and I'd say the following. Just going back to the very beginning of the conversation, Larry, I think boom is the wrong word to describe the macro environment. The way I describe it is sort of moderate growth. The Fed met over the course of the last couple of days. There was no change in Fed monetary policy, as according to their announcement today. This came in the wake of three easings of monetary policy, about 75 basis points or 0.75 percentage point in downward adjustment in short-term interest rates that were made as an insurance policy taken out by the Fed, not so much because of strong sense of weakness in the United States, but there is a very high level of uncertainty with respect to dimensions of U.S. policy, notably including trade policy, and that is infecting in some ways business fixed investment in this country. But also a very big concern on the part of the Fed with respect to economic weakness abroad, notably including Europe and parts of Asia. So, I think the message to the listeners to start off is one of moderate growth and again, hopefully a continuation of that moderate growth. Now, to get to housing, a couple of things here. As Chris has sort of indicated, we have impediments to new supply in California. Those impediments are significant. They're binding. They include high land costs in certainly the highly populated coastal parts of the state. They include high construction costs. They include lack of construction labor. They include high levels of local government regulatory constraint on development. In terms of high land costs, you simply can't build affordable housing on expensive land. That means to get material or to really scale that construction of affordable housing, you need to get to interior areas where land costs are lower. And hence, I would encourage listeners on the phone, Larry, or on the show today to think about funding transportation infrastructure investment and sort of thinking about transportation infrastructure as a way of creating affordable housing and creating that housing with access to jobs that are closer to the coast. I'd like to give you an example with respect to regulatory constraint.
Can you hold that thought for just a moment? I'll come right back to you. That's Stuart Gabriel with us from UCLA. We're also with economist Christopher Thornburg. And we have a third economist with us as well, Jordan Levine of the California Association of Realtors. We'll hear from him as well when we continue in 1 minute on Air Talk. Just a little correction, that promo that you just heard for All Things Considered today, All Things Considered will be at 3 o'clock, not its usual time, and then at 4 o'clock, NPR live coverage of the debate over the articles of impeachment introduced at the House Judiciary Committee. The House is going to have to pass it out of the Judiciary Committee first before the entire House next week, it's expected, will vote on the articles of impeachment. Right now, our focus on the Southern California economy. We are joined by three economic experts, Stuart Gabriel, professor at UCLA, Chris Thornburg, economist with Beacon Economics, and Jordan Levine of the California Association of Realtors. Professor Gabriel, let me just go back to you. Quickly, can you share with us those environmental regulatory constraints you see on housing?
Absolutely. And just one word on affordability as well. But take a community like Elk Grove, California, where Elk Grove is a bedroom community a little bit south of Sacramento in a relatively affordable area. You can buy a new home in Elk Grove for maybe $400,000. But of those $400,000 that you're paying, some $80,000, or 20% of the price of the home, derives from local government exactions and impact fees that are put into place by Elk Grove to fund their local services. Now, that's, in the eyes of many, excessive. But bear in mind that all of this emanates from cutting of local property taxes in California related to Prop 13, and the fact that local government does indeed need to fund things like schools and police and fire and local public services. Difficult to fund those services without a revenue stream. So we've imposed sort of gathering of those revenues on residential development and on new home purchase. And in my mind, that's an unfortunate thing.
All right.
Anyway, we have very high impact fees. And as you know, your other guests have suggested, we lack something like 300,000 construction workers in the state.
All right. Let me bring California Association of Realtors Deputy Chief Economist Jordan Levine into the conversation. Mr. Levine, thank you for joining us. What's your outlook for the state as a whole over the next 12 months?
Yeah, we're actually more optimistic about where the economy is going now than we were at this time last year. I think that Chris hit the nail on the head. We're in that kind of sweet spot economically with both low levels of unemployment and yet still continued job growth. The thing that concerns me is just that we're not really able to translate that into a growing number of home sales. And so, unfortunately, the good economy hasn't meant that more and more folks could actually achieve that dream of home ownership.
There's been a real difficulty with sufficient inventory for people to purchase. Is that going to be loosening at all over the next 12 months, or we still need baby boomers to get older?
No, I think that actually we're going to go back to a market that looks a lot like it did in 2016 and even 2017, where you've got lots of good demand, largely owing to this good economy that we have. I do think that as rates started to tick up late last year and got into that kind of mid 4% range, we did see folks worry about what the kind of future trajectory of the housing market was going to look like. So we did get a bit of a flood of new active listings. But if you fast forward to where we are today, and folks have, I think, woken up and realized that the economy is in good shape, that there isn't that kind of flood of new inventory coming online. In fact, in October, we had the number of homes available for sale actually drop by almost 20%. And so I think that in some ways our biggest strength, which is the good economy, is also becoming our biggest weakness, because folks want to sit on those homes that they have and enjoy that price appreciation that's creating lots of wealth for them. But unfortunately, the downside of that is that there's not enough inventory to go around for this good demand that we're creating from the economy.
So you don't see prices prices declining at all?
We don't. In fact, we've just upgraded our forecast for prices. We don't think we're going to see that kind of big double-digit growth that we experienced 3-4 years ago, but we do see growth in prices in that kind of 3% range, and in some ways that's also been aided and might even be higher because rates are so low today.
And at some point, I assume, as baby boomers age out of their houses or die, you're going to start seeing significant numbers of properties. Come on, but what's sort of the actuarial life of that occurring?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to happen over you know, the next couple of decades, no doubt. And we will see some of those baby boomers bring their homes online one way or another. I think the key thing to keep in mind, though, is to distinguish between housing turnover, which is how much of our existing housing stock is actually moving around or changing hands each year, and the kind of fundamental amount of supply or the number of homes that we actually have here in the state. And so although turnover is a big piece of the housing story, when you take a step back, we've grown by almost 15 million people over the past, you know, 2.5 to 3 decades, and we just haven't built enough. And
so, yeah,
absent a really big economic shock, we're still in a scenario where there's far more demand for housing than there is supply, and it's hard to envision a scenario where those structural factors lead to prices going down, absent, again, something bad happening in the economy.
Jordan Levine, California Association of Realtors Economists. We have a question about the very low unemployment rate, wondering about how much of that is a result of gig economy workers or people who are underemployed. Chris Thornburg?
You know, we have data on that. There are, for example, measures of the percent of people who are part-time for economic reasons, people who are quote-unquote discouraged workers. Those are all near an all-time low level. So, no, the low unemployment rate is not being driven by discouraged workers, or is it being driven by people who are just working a few hours a week? In fact, the vast majority of the people today, in fact, one of the highest ratios ever of payroll workers to what I would call overall household workers. There's a lot of conversation about the gig economy, but it's pretty clear that for the most part, the gig economy are people's side jobs. It's a way of making a few extra bucks in the evenings or on the weekends.
I want to thank you all very much for being with us. Economist Chris Thornburg, founding partner Beacon Economics, and my thanks, Stuart Gabriel, UCLA's Anderson School of Management and the Ziman Center for Real Estate. Have a terrific afternoon. All things considered at 3. NPR live coverage of the impeachment articles debate, 4 o'clock. It resumes tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. If we get on tomorrow, it'll be after that.